Progressive Radio News Hour with Stephen Ledman, Thursdays at 11 a.m. and weekends at 1 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome to the Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman. My guest today is Bob Chapman. Bob is back for over 50 years. My goodness. Bob has written on business, economics, and politics. He does it twice weekly now. He's the owner and editor of the International Forecaster. We talk about it on this program. It really is an incredible achievement. I've got the latest issue up on my desktop. And he crams it full twice weekly with voluminous information on the state of what's going on, especially on the economy, with things are not quite as well as the mainstream would like it to be portrayed and to have people believe. There seem to be a few chinks in this story these days, as even the official reports that are so grossly distorted to put as much lipstick on a pig as possible, even they are showing cracks. Just imagine what the real decay underneath those reports really is. We'll get out on Main Street and discover what it's like. They may be doing well in corporate boardrooms, but millions of people around the country, probably in most of their lifetimes, maybe all of them, except maybe for the people who lived through the 1930s. Some of them are still around. I lived in the 1930s, but I was too young to understand what was going on. But except for them who do remember what was going on, they have never had it so bad, and it's not getting better. It's getting worse. Bob, you were a little late calling. Are we connected now?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Well, I was giving a long introduction just to rev you up and get you going. I think me see some crinks in the armor, Bob. Are you seeing a few yourself?
Yeah, especially over in Europe. The Bilderberger meeting is being held in St. Moritz starting today. And the number one agenda item is, and actually they say that they're going to be in Geneva and Zurich as well as St. Moritz, so I don't know why they're doing that. But anyway, the number one agenda is the Greek financial problem. And there's 33 banks that have bonds and loans out to Greece, and each country has as well. They usually hold bonds. Greek bonds. And what's happening is that the bankers want collateralization on any further money that they give to Greece, and that collateralization is everything that the Greek people own. And as you know, I've been on radio and television and in the press there for the last year and a half, and the people now realize what we've been telling them is true, and that the bankers want to loot the country. And so, and they want to do it at 10 or 15 cents on the dollar. And so what's going on is the Greeks saying, no, you're not going to do that. And secondly, we want reasonable terms. If you don't give us reasonable terms, we'll go bankrupt. Now, that's scaring the heck out of the banks and the financial figures in Europe, because all the major European banks are broke. Just like the major U.S. banks are broke. They're all using two sets of books. And all the insiders know that, but the public doesn't know it. In fact, the day before yesterday, the largest French bank limited debit card withdrawals of cash from accounts. They cut it in half by 50%. And so obviously the bank has a cash flow problem. But these are the kind of things that are going on over there. And I don't know how long it's going to take to come to some conclusion, but the longer it goes, the worse it's going to get.
Bob, there's no question that this thing, the more actions they take, they're all negative actions. You know, it's kicking the can down the road, you know, and the further down the road they kick it, and the longer this sinister game goes on, the worse the problem gets. I mean, it is shocking that these people just don't give a damn. You know, let's party as long as we can, and, you know, I mean, maybe we'll retire and somebody else will have my job, they're saying, so they can worry about this bonfire that's turning into, my goodness, we need a new name for it. I mean, not only is Rome burning, I mean, the entire country is burning from one country to the next. I wrote about Greece in my article that I got out, two articles I got out today, Bob. One was what I titled IBM, well, IBM too, IMF Financial Terrorism. And, you know, whether we're talking about the IMF or the World Bank or the individual bankers, you know, they don't just want their pound of flesh, Bob. They want all the flesh. They want all the flesh. And for a baby country like Greece, a tiny country, I mean, they just literally want to loot every living thing, not only that isn't tied down, but everything that is tied down as well. Anything worth anything, they want it, and as you say, they want it for pennies on the dollar. And yet this leader, Papandreou, I mean, he keeps conceding more and more and more. I mean, when in hell are the Greek people going to just storm the place where he resides and just haul him out and get rid of him and say, we're not going to take this crap anymore? I'm really waiting for that to happen.
Well, I think there's a good chance of it. There's 150,000 people on the street every day, last 15, 17 days. On Sunday, there was about 2 million, and of course, the media lies about it. And a bunch of them were running around with nooses, which they were throwing over the light standards outside of the House of Representatives to let them know that's what they like to do to them. The police protected them, took them away, and then when they got to their districts, the people in their districts were waiting for them and beat them up. Didn't kill them or anything, but just smashed them around a bit. And the Greek people they understand. And the opposition party leader, which is, I would consider, a middle-of-the-road party, they call it conservative. When the other party is Marxist, what is conservative? He, Mr. Samaras, I think his name is, he understands. And he's going to take them right to the end. They're not going to get away with it. And if Greece defaults, all the banks in Europe go down, the EU goes down, the Eurozone goes down, the Euro goes down. That's where this is all headed. And that's what they're going to talk about. What do we do? And the only thing that they can do is give Greece everything they want.
Well, let me stop you there for a minute. Again, I know Greece is in serious trouble, but it's a small country, and yet if Greece goes down, you think it literally can take the whole Eurozone down with it?
Right, and the reason why is because all the major banks are broke. I mean, you saw what happened when we had TARP and the Federal Reserve was lending money and wouldn't tell anybody who they were lending it to. Bloomberg sued. It took 2 years, went to appeals level. The appeals district court said, no, you can't do that. You got to tell people where the money went. And trillions of dollars went to European banks. Why? Because they were just as broke as the New York banks were.
So this can happen all over again. The Fed and the ECB can loosen up and just if Greece goes under, I mean, they can just print up money and send hundreds of billions to the banks that need it. Why not keep doing this game? Even though the more of it they do, the more in trouble they are in the long run. But literally, I mean, if Greece, I ended my article today, Bob, with a section called The Argentina Solution. Back a decade ago, Argentina effectively defaulted, forcing creditors to take a major haircut. and most, you know, reluctantly went along, not all of them, and I didn't realize, I put it in my article, by 2010, the holdouts finally went along as well, basically taking the same deal they turned down years earlier. But the story was that, I mean, Argentina, I forget who was leading the country then a decade ago, but Argentina, I guess, was in such trouble, and they finally decided that, I mean, they took a decision that there's only one way out of this thing. We have to force our creditors to take a major haircut, which they did, and it led to years of prosperity in Argentina. I mean, that's the solution. Just tell these bastards we're not going to pay up. Go to hell.
And I'll tell you, Stephen, why that's justifiable. First of all, the loans were made from money that they created out of thin air in fractional banking. And second of all, they, the bankers, are the professionals. They are 80% or more contingently liable for the problem. They're the pros. The politicians, the public, representatives, they don't know anything about finance. Only the bankers and those in the City of London and Wall Street, people like us, we know, but they don't. And the bankers should take the loss because they deliberately did this so they could steal the entire country.
Bob, there's one more thing that's important. There's one big difference between Greece or any Eurozone country and Argentina. Argentina was not locked in a Eurozone straitjacket. This was an insane system when they put it together when a decade or so ago. But these countries gave up their sovereignty to a money master in a foreign country. So you've got Trichet and the ECB. So they have no ability. Here they're in a crisis. They cannot increase their money supply. They cannot have an expansive fiscal policy. They're literally locked into the straitjacket, doing what their money master demands under the Eurozone rules. Argentina was not so constrained, so they could decide on their own. They will do this, they won't do that. But Greece has an option. They can just say, to hell with this Eurozone, and drop out, go back
and
to the
drachma. And they should. They shouldn't have been in there in the first place.
They shouldn't have been in there in the first place, that's right.
And then you got the same thing. I was living in Portugal at the time, and Portugal was started to phase in the Eurozone mandates, we'll call them. They should have never been in there, and neither should have Ireland. The rest of the countries, yes, because they have the population and the manufacturing of services or whatever. Spain has the biggest, fifth biggest European Union economy. Yes, they should have been in there. But Italy, Mickey Mouse, their books with swaps, credit default swaps, to hide their losses and problems, just like Greece did. And that was engineered by J.P. Morgan Chase and Goldman Sachs. And they deliberately broke the law. I mean, they have no compunction for honesty.
Oh, indeed they don't. Indeed they don't. But again, you raised a very important point. Well, what is it, 28 countries in the Eurozone?
I think it's 27.
27?
It doesn't make any difference. It's approximately 28.
Over two dozen. Well, yeah, I mean, the strong ones. Germany, of course, the strong. The UK is not in it. They have their own system. But Germany, France, Spain, the strongest countries, if they want a union, they can have one very nicely, and they can probably help one or another out if they get in some trouble. But basically, the strong ones have some rationale to have a union. But the idea of putting weak countries in with strong ones, well, if I were a German, my so strong feeling would be, why should I have to bail out a weak sister Greece or a weak sister Portugal because somebody I don't have any say over decided to couple all of these countries into an unsustainable union? So I'm paying the price, billions of what should have been Deutschmarks, but we don't have those anymore, are going to bail these people out, and directly and indirectly I'm being harmed. I'd be very angry about this. Now, if you're
and they are, and they showed that in the last election in the Hamburg area.
Oh, they
with the CDU, which is Mrs. Merkel's party, and that was her area.
Well, I wrote about that, Bob. It was like electing a leftist, a raging leftist in Mississippi or Utah.
Well, you know, one of the things when people discuss the European Union, they never discuss the cultural and long-term anthropological differences in these people. They have nothing in common with one another. I mean, you go to France, it's split into six sections, and everybody doesn't like each other. And you go to Germany, it's split up into basically four sections. They do like each other, but they're still from different tribes. And nobody understands this. I'm sure that, you know, if we went over to Harvard or Northeastern, the professors would tell us, yeah, you're absolutely right. But they don't get along. I mean, they expected massive cross-border transportation of people, say from France to Germany and Germany to Poland, from Poland to Sweden. Never happened. People don't want to leave their own countries. Very few ever do.
Oh, you can understand that. At my time in life, Bob, maybe yours as well, when I was younger, I lived in a number of cities, and you've lived all over the world. But at my age now, it would be quite a change just to move to another U.S. city, let alone move to another country. And the closest to America would be Canada. And Canada, really, I mean, you go to Canada, you feel like you never left the U.S., but maybe Quebec
except
a little bit
except for
different.
The prices.
The prices?
They're one-third higher.
I haven't been there in decades.
If you want to get the best price, you go south to Mexico City in Guadalajara,
oh, yeah.
And then you get one-third less.
Oh, it's been a long time since I've been there as well. I don't speak Spanish, so...
you don't have to. Everybody speaks English all over the world now.
I haven't been
here I went out and learned six languages, and I don't even use them.
Well, the one time I was in Europe, I discovered no matter where I went, the people I bumped into spoke English, including most people on the street. If you stopped and asked somebody for directions and you spoke in English, you know, you wondered whether somebody you were speaking to knew what you were talking about. Well, amazing. I mean, they do. Even the ones who didn't speak it well understood what you were saying in English. But you get a Frenchman or a Spaniard over here speaking their language. Well, Frenchmen especially, you won't find too many people who will understand French here. Spanish, yes. French, no. German, no.
That's true. So I wasted all that time going to the University of Geneva.
But anyway, I mean, we really have a global mess, Bob, and it seems to me that the cracks are very slowly getting more evident, and you've said it many times on this program, neither you or I or anybody can know when this thing is finally going to come apart, but you've also said it many times, whenever it happens, it's going to happen, because the policies have been so outrageous that the piper will be paid and the pain will be very, very severe. We could have fixed this thing a few years ago if responsible policies were done, but they weren't. So heaven help us when this thing finally blows up.
Well, they had two great opportunities, 1990-92 and then 2000 to 2003. They could have turned the whole thing down with pain, but not what we were facing now. And these people are very bright. They do make mistakes. We're just as bright as they are. We went to the same schools they did. And the point here is they're not that dumb. And that tells me something horrifying. This has been done deliberately.
Oh, I think there's no doubt about that, but I'll let you expand on it.
Well, what they want to do is have world government. Who is they? It's the people who control our country and other countries from behind the scenes. And what they want to do is have a one world government where everybody becomes enslaved to this government and does what they're told to do. This is what they're after because they think they know better what's good for us, including who can have children, who can get married, who's going to work in what field of study will you follow, where will you live. I mean, will it be in Shanghai or will it be in Santiago, Chile? And so they want to form our lives, but they're not smarter than we are. We're as smart as they are. And so they got no right to do this. I mean, if the whole population of the world was just dumb, I could understand it. But we're not dumb. And the majority of people throughout the world are just as smart as they are.
Well, Bob, you remember, as I do, what went on in the 1960s in America. That was the last time, aside from the anti-war, anti-Vietnam War protests, that were pretty heated at times. But the 1960s was the glorious civil rights movement, and ordinary people proved that what you're saying, that you persist in a campaign long enough and fervently enough, and it's amazing what you can accomplish. Well, they did accomplish something. They got rights that never would have been handed to them. Unfortunately, they're all lost now, but they were won back then. And the same thing happened years earlier with the labor movement and other examples in this country. When enough people decided that they just wouldn't take anything less than what they rightfully deserved, and they fought for it, and sometimes it went on for decades, and they finally succeeded. Today, I don't see that happening here. Maybe it'll resurface. But that's the way to get some stuff done. And you're right, Bob. We're not stupid. And what these people really want, and everyone needs to understand it, they literally want the Bilderberg idea of their perfect world. As you say, a global government. They want a classless society of rulers and serfs. They want to globalize wages to bring them down as low as possible. Get rid of all social benefits, you know, everybody on their own sink or swim, and profit, and the only involvement of government is for internal control and militarism for foreign wars. The rest is corporate empowerment to handle everything and run everything and suck every last nickel and dime out of human beings to profit to the fullest. And that's the kind of world they see as the best of all possible ones. Well, there's only one way we can stop this, Bob, and that's up to us, to cram these ideas right back down their throat and say, over our dead bodies, you will not have this. And we've had it with you. We're fed up with you, and we're not going to take this anymore. I think it starts right here in America, Bob, in Washington. We have a criminal regime running the country, complicit with criminals in corporate boardrooms, headquartered mainly in Washington, but all the other big corporate boardrooms, big oil, big pharma, big agribusiness, big all of it. They're all criminals. They all want to destroy us. They want to buy our services for maybe one notch about what slavery was 150 years ago, and we have to do something to stop them.
And that's what we're doing on talk radio and through the Internet. And we're breathing down their neck every day. We're making great strides in America, but even greater strides outside the country. Greece is a perfect example of that. And I get emails every day from every country that you can think of. What do we do and how do we do it? So there are movements blossoming in countries all over the world. And so if we see that it works in one country, let's take Greece. Stop. Cut off the banks at the pass and say no more. You're going to eat your losses. If you go under, we don't care. And that may bring the system down. But the system should have been brought down a long time ago because the system is corrupt and it has to be changed. And so the quicker it happens, the better. The longer we wait, the more painful, as you pointed out. But it's got to be done. We have to have a national leader who stands up and says, look, here's the problems. This is what we got to do. It's going to be horrible. But if we all do it together and help each other, no demonstrations, no riots, no shooting, no thievery, we can do it. We can turn America around. And, of course, they'll have to put tariffs and goods and services back in because corporate America continues to ship daily hundreds of thousands of jobs out of the country.
Oh, absolutely, Bob. I think of it this way in simple terms, and I say it as a graduate of the Wharton School. They may not like me for saying this, but they know it's true just the way I do. the system that we're stuck with, that this predatory capitalistic system. There's nothing wrong with freedom. There's nothing wrong with a system that has a level playing field for everybody, so one doesn't have an advantage over another. But that's not the system we have. I was in a small family business. I mean, we could easily get trampled, and I think we sold out over a decade ago. I mean, today I can't imagine that we would even survive, given the trampling that small business has taken in the last few years, or especially in the new millennium, but mainly in the last few years. But the system that we're stuck with is a cancer. That's the way to look at it. And just imagine, you go to you don't feel well, and you go to your doctor, and they give you all kinds of tests, and they say, we're sorry to tell you this, you have a cancer, and it's not looking good. That's the bad news. But the good news is we can fix it. Now, you're going to have to come into the hospital, and you're going to have some major surgery, and you're going to have to go through all of the treatment afterwards. But I will tell you this, your chances are superb, because it very much looks like we caught it in time, and it's going to be nasty and painful to go through this, but on the other end of it, you're going to be the old you. I see that's the condition in the country right now, and the global condition. We have a terrible cancer that is killing us, and if we don't stop it and excise it, we know what'll happen. We will die. Ordinary people will die. I mean, literally. I mean, their financial life, their economic well-being, their social well-being will be extinguished. That's the fate we face unless we do something about it. But it never will come from those bastards inflicting it on us. It's up to us, ordinary people, to decide. No more. Get active. What can we do? Get active. Get active. Join with others. Do something. Everybody can do something. And enough of us do something and join together with others doing it, we can get the results that we want. They won't come easily. They won't come quickly. But they will come. And the alternative, as I like to say, is too dire to imagine.
And I agree with you completely. And people got to understand, they have to get outside the box. They have to find out what the real truth is. And that can be delivered through talk radio as well as the internet. You've got to pay attention. It means your life, the life of your generations yet unborn. This is very, very serious. The most serious thing that can happen to a civilization. And you've got to get with it. And I just quake to think what's going to happen if we can't resuscitate America.
Oh, absolutely, Bob. There have been some wonderful, great thinkers who used to be on the other side, and one of the ones that just popped into my mind, very sadly, we lost him last November, Chalmers Johnson, who used to call himself a spear carrier. His words, a spear carrier for the CIA when he was a consultant, but he was a distinguished professor, a brilliant man. Oh, I mean, we really needed him, and legions like him, but in at least two of his books, his two most recent ones, he wrote about how we are destroying ourselves. The things that we are doing, we're destroying ourselves, literally. We're no different from all the other empires that overreached and they self-destructed from this. And that's exactly what America is doing. These crazy policies that absolutely are unsustainable, and the human toll along with it from what they're doing. And yet we have people with a brain like Obama. I accuse Obama of many things, but not of being brainless. He is a smart, smart guy. He understands. If you and I mean, you of course understand it, Bob. If I understand it, Obama, an insider, which I sure am not, he understands it, and yet he goes along with this, and it's gotten worse under his watch, not better. That's not only criminal, it's shameless. It needs a new category of crime to describe what he has allied himself with. His epitaph is already written. He's still got a year and a half to go. I can't imagine he'll change, but he's got a year and a half to do something. And otherwise, I mean, his epitaph is already written. If humanity survives, they will look back at him very unkindly.
And I agree.
Oh, Bob, we ran out of time. Always could be continued. Oh my goodness! And you are. Is it fair to call you a media maniac? I mean, you are on so many programs, radio, TV around the world. I don't know how you do it all, Bob. And you turn out those two magnificent international forecaster letters each week, just cram full of stuff. You'll never read it in the New York Times. You'll never hear it on CNN, but you will get it in the forecaster. My hat is off to you, Bob, honest to goodness.
Well, thank you very much, and I can do that because I'm 6 months younger than you are.
Well, you inspire me. To be continued, Bob. We'll do it again next month.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye,
everyone.
And join us this weekend, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. You'll get lots more just like this.